Good day, this is Matthew Berkowitz, and with me, as usual, is Sam Lewis and Brian O'Shea, and welcome to Carr Maloney's Class Action Blog COVIDcast, where during the COVID-19 epidemic, we've been doing a COVIDcast focusing on different issues and potential class action arising out of COVID-19. Recently, we discussed some class issues and certain claims involving universities, and we decided this week we're going to go a little more narrow to a fun topic of sports and college sports, and focusing on the types of claims or class actions that we might be seeing related to college athletics in, as it relates to COVID. Brian, and I'm going to start with Brian. Brian, are you seeing any claims yet, or who might be the plaintiffs and some, obviously, the athletes themselves, but just anything going on that you're aware of with respect to college athletics and class actions and claims in COVID?
Well, there haven't been any class action claims filed yet, but I think the concern for colleges and universities has to be that as the coronavirus pandemic continues to play out and as we continue to see increased rates of infection across the country, that these class action lawsuits, depending on how things go, could be coming down the pike. Specifically, just yesterday, the University of Florida announced that it was putting all football activities on hold due to at least 19 college football players testing positive for coronavirus. So this is a significant concern legally for colleges and universities that they're going to have to address in the coming weeks and months.
Right. And obviously, I guess the most likely claimant, I suppose, would be the athletes themselves, unless they're playing in front of stadiums, so forth and so on. And maybe workers and other things might have claims for, you know, for the team staff as well. And typically, as we've seen, the claim types of claims we would be having is just basically that this was lack of PPE equipment or the risk of it, the exposure. Is that sort of the thing you would anticipate, Sam or Brian?
Sam, if I may.
Sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
Football is an inherently, you know, a close context sport, right? And so you can only put in so many precautions. So here, there has been questions of if an athlete does end up contracting COVID-19, what types of long-term injuries are we going to see? I know that UNC and a couple of other athletic programs are concerned about long-term cardiovascular issues. And it's just a matter of, is there a safe way to, you know, play football or play certain sports?
And but as far as type of claims, Brian, yeah, please, Brian.
Well, to follow up on what Sam said, because I think she hit the nail on the head, as we're talking about college athletes compared to the other types of class action claims that we're seeing related to, you know, often in the workplace related to lack of PPE or lack of protective measures, I think the these lawsuits may be a little bit different because one of the main claims may be you are liable because of your decision to have us play football or another sport in the first place. And just that decision in and of itself is negligent, grossly negligent, reckless, however you want to put it. And so regardless of the additional precautions they may have taken, while that could potentially support a defense by the colleges or the universities, again, as numbers of rates of infection continue to rise, there may be increasing support for an argument by athletes of any type that the decision to play varsity sports in the first place is in and of itself negligent.
Well, and here's my question.
Piggyback
that kind of goes to hold on 1 second, Sam, hold on, because you're next. But the question is, if I'm defense counsel, and I want you to be plaintiff's counsel, Sam or Brian, for a second. If I'm defense counsel, I'm going to argue an assumption of risk at some level, you know, for jurisdictions that recognize the doctrine. We now know, compared to back when we were doing this in March, and there were exposure issues, back when we were in March and little was known, we now know more about the exposure risks. You know, the athletes are now choosing, despite more knowledge about the risk, to participate in the sport anyway. If I'm representing a university that is sued by student athletes, I'm going to say they volunteered, they assumed the risk of exposure. We still followed protocols. There was a known risk despite the protocols, but that is, our defense will hold up. What do you say to that one, Sam?
I think the question here is, what does it say in their contracts? You know, there may be repercussions if they don't play this season. A lot of college athletes are financially supported by the university as a condition of them playing for the school. So that's also a question. Maybe they're not assuming the risk. They might not necessarily have a choice not to play here.
Brian, what do you think?
I agree with Sam. I would argue that there is no assumption of the risk because their decision to play wasn't voluntary. These are unpaid college athletes. Their ability to go to college in the first place depends on their ability or depends on them agreeing to play college sports. And the fact that you, the university, are forcing them to play is not them assuming the risk of injury.
Does it change your opinion, though? And I'm not aware, and maybe you know, different, obviously, they're Division I and Division II and Division III and different scholarship rules, but you know, what if the school says it is voluntary, you're not going to lose your scholarship if you decide to sit out this season, yet the athlete then decides to play anyway? Does that change? Because I tend to agree with you that if somebody is you know, running the risk of losing their scholarship if they don't play, that it's not an assumption of risk. But let's say they are given a quote-unquote choice, does your opinion change at all?
I think it might. I would certainly want to see. I think that would depend on the language of the agreement, though.
Okay.
And I think there are lots of factors that might come into play. I mean, does every single athlete is every single athlete presented with that option, or is it just athletes with certain comorbidities, for example, who are presented with that option? Does every single athlete have the ability to opt out and retain their scholarship without penalty, or just some? I think that's an important question.
Good point.
Right.
And
if
I think
that
also
was the case, we might not have had a full roster to be able to, you know, for them to play this season at all. So we don't know exactly the behind the scenes here.
Right. And
in terms of negotiations with players.
And I think that goes to a point that maybe they were given an option, but, you know, to sit out the season and still have their scholarship. But I'm sure plaintiff and plaintiff's counsel argue, yeah, I was given the option, but it wasn't a real option. You know, they said I could, but we all know if I sat out, you know, there was peer pressure or just other pressures to play that was inherent. So let's say it survives a motion to dismiss case and stage, and we're in the class certification stage, and it is a class action. You know, Brian, I'll start with you. What defenses are you going to raise?
I would probably raise predominance as an issue. I know there have been repeated stories in the news about college students, including athletes, going off campus to attend parties and other events where they may have been exposed to coronavirus. So if the court is going to litigating this case as a class action will force the court to go into an individual examination of each class member's activities and whether and make an individual determination about where that individual was exposed potentially.
Right. It goes back to, we didn't touch on it today, but it goes back to the big issue of causation. We don't know that that particular football player, that plaintiff or the class representative actually got exposed to COVID while playing football. It may have been elsewhere. Sam also brought up morbidity issue and different, obviously people having different damages. So certainly it requires an individual inquiry and different causation issues that may not be lead to be appropriate for class-wide treatment. Sam, anything you want to throw in with respect to class certification?
I agree with both of you. I think, especially in the case of a global pandemic affecting people's health, you have to look at everyone's pre-existing conditions, and the coronavirus may impose different damages on different people.
I'm just going to come up with just a weird hypothetical. What about a school who chooses not to participate in athletics, and that athlete loses, you only get at most 4 years to play to potentially stand out enough to get drafted in the NFL or the NBA or whatever it may be. Argument that by students saying the school cost me my future career by canceling the season. Do you actually?
We are seeing that. We're seeing those types of suits at the high school level, in particular in Illinois. Parents and student athletes are suing the Illinois High School Association, alleging that they've been damaged because they postponed sports. They're not able to compete for particular athletic scholarships and make college more affordable for them.
And obviously the response to that is it's speculative because there was certainly no guarantee the risks of that student high school athlete having that extra season, that it was that season that was going to lead them to a stellar professional career, certainly is speculative.
But it's not even the professional career in regards to college recruiting in general. I would be at, if I'm defense counsel in that case, and if we get to discovery, I'm asking for letters from college coaches and, recruiting the player, scholarship offers, to make, as you said, to argue that the claim is speculative.
And then we've got 2 minutes left, and I want to touch two topics. So one of you can take one of you can take the other, and we can wrap up in the last 2 minutes. But I want to touch on, first, we're talking about damages a little bit, the danger of punitive damages. One of you can take that. And then the other one, the final issue, will just some defense of potential immunity for colleges and universities, perhaps, if that applies. I know it applies in the other context. Could the immunity apply in the sports context as well? So who wants to take what? Don't speak all at once.
Well, I think here you can make the argument from the perspective of punitive damages and stating that colleges acted reckless by forcing students to come back to campus, not forcing, but giving them the option, and allowing these sports to go on. It does give an image of, profit over the well-being of their student body, because, these sports generate tons of money for the schools and media advertising and such. And so, the question is, if they went remote, would they have prevented, you know, the increased exposure of COVID? It's all very speculative at this point in time, in my opinion.
And Brian, and why don't you go ahead and finish
and
up.
And as the rates of infection continue to get higher, I would, you know, if I'm plaintiff's counsel, I would argue that the potential for a gross negligence argument continues to get better. In regards to waivers of life, or in regards to immunity, waivers of liability, I've heard that discussion come up in regards to college athletics. The NCAA specifically forbids its member institutions from having its athletes or having their athletes sign liability waivers. So I do not believe those would be enforceable. And then regarding potential immunity, that's really going to come down to each individual state legislature or the United States Congress and what they decide to do. There has been some discussion about giving colleges some protection from behavior that is not grossly negligent or intentional. But that is still at the early stages, and we'll have to see how that develops.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining me today and thank everybody who's listening to this. And we look forward to discussing another important issue in the next time we meet. So on behalf of Brian O'Shea and Sam Lewis, have a great day.